Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Tropical Depression 2 has formed off the North Carolina coast. I'll show you the latest track and when it could become a tropical storm coming up.
Also, a woman is dead and a man faces charges after a weekend accident involving a golf cart. We're live in the community where it happened.
Plus, a fourth COVID-19 vaccine could be available by year's end. New information about the Novavax vaccine.
We begin this noon with breaking news. The deaths of two 82nd Airborne Division paratroopers at Fort Bragg.
Michelle McConaughey's in the WREL Live Center with the latest. Michelle?
Yeah, guys, two 82nd Airborne Division paratroopers were pronounced dead on Friday after being found unresponsive in their barracks on Fort Bragg. Army Specialist Joshua Diamond and Private First Class Matthew Disney, those are the two men. Colonel Philip Kearney calling the losses a tragedy. A spokesman actually says at this point in the investigation, we do have credible information that the soldiers were involved with illicit drugs. Colonel Kearney went on to say our thoughts and prayers are with their loved ones at this time. Some of the folks that they know taking to Facebook just to express condolences. This person here saying, I couldn't have asked for a better roommate or brother in arms. Rest easy, brother. So this is a developing situation. The U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Command is investigating this case. Back to you.
Another big story we are following. Tropical Depression 2 has formed off the North Carolina coast.
Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is here with the latest track in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Amy?
It's the kind of system we like. It's moving away from us. It is a tropical depression right now. This was announced shortly before 11 a.m. It's 105 miles east of Cape Hatteras, moving to the northeast at 21 miles per hour. Right now, the maximum sustained winds are at 35 miles per hour. Again, good news with this system. It's moving away from us. I did want to pause the clock here. At 8 p.m. tonight, it's likely to become a tropical storm. And if it does become a tropical storm, it would then be named Bill. So this could be our second named storm later on tonight. We'll definitely be monitoring that. It will continue tracking to the northeast, eventually moving into some cold waters and falling apart. So it's moving away from us. We don't have to worry about it too much. We do have two other systems we're watching in the tropics. I'll talk about that in about 15 minutes. I did want to give you a radar update. Right now, our live dual Doppler 5000 is quiet, but it's likely that we have some thunderstorms develop later on today. We have a level one risk for some severe thunderstorms today. The time frame would be late this afternoon and this evening. The main threats with this would be damaging wind gusts, perhaps some pockets of heavy rain. It's going to be hit and miss storms. Not everybody gets the rain, but we will have some activity on the radar later today. Very warm outside, temperatures in the 70s and 80s. The heat index making it feel close to 90 already. Here's the hour by hour forecast. We should climb up to around 90 for our high temperature. Notice the storm icons from 3 o'clock until around 8 o'clock. I'll map this out with Futurecast coming up.
Amy, thank you. A Holly Springs man faces multiple charges, including DWI, after a woman dies after riding in a golf cart with him.
Hey, we're working to learn the relationship between Jeremy Martin and the victim. And WRL's Amanda Lamb is live in the neighborhood where she spoke with a few people who knew them. Amanda, what are people saying around there today?
Yeah, Jeff, people are just absolutely devastated to hear this news. Very, very sad day here. 43-year-old Jeremy Martin is charged with DWI and having an open container of alcohol. Witnesses say the woman who died was a passenger in his golf cart Friday night. Now, Holly Springs police tell me they're going to release the name of that victim any minute. They have not done that yet. They tell us the investigation's ongoing. They're trying to figure out the exact circumstances of what happened. And the DA says they are also waiting on toxicology results. This is a large community with a golf course and three pools. And people here tell us golf carts are just part of the culture. We have seen so many people coming here this morning to the pool behind me, mothers and children with their golf carts, also to the golf course, which is right next to us. And there are safety features on these golf carts. They do have lights. They also have seat belts. They have to be inspected. And of course, they are like any other vehicle. You cannot get behind the wheel of any vehicle after you've been drinking. So again, an ongoing investigation, and we are working to get more information from Holly Springs Police, and we hope to have that for you later today. Back to you.
Amanda Lamb, live for us in Holly Springs this noon. Thank you, Amanda. One person is hurt after a drive-by shooting in Durham that happened around 3:25 this morning near Lincoln Street and Lingwood Avenue. According to officials, one driver was shooting out his vehicle window while another person was on the street shooting back. A male victim was struck in the side, but his injuries were reported as non-life threatening.
You will soon see new advertisements encouraging you to fly again. A group of companies in the Triangle came together to promote air travel at RDU. This is a live look that you're seeing right here. WREL Sloan Heffernan is live at the airport with more on the mission behind the message. Sloan.
People are returning to RDU, as you can see behind me here at the Delta counter. However, the number of travelers still significantly down due to COVID. Folks at the airport tell me that typically 50% of the travelers that travel through these gates right here at Terminal 2 are business travelers. However, right now, those business travelers are only making up about 20% of the travelers going through security. That's one reason for a new coalition that was announced this morning here at RDU. The mission: encourage travelers to return to the skies to help economic recovery in our region. The coalition debuted a new advertising campaign called Triangle Takeoff Carry On Campaign. That campaign will feature local prominent figures, companies, and small businesses. Here is a first look at one of their ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are no longer on standby. RDU is more than an airport. It's a way of life, a connection to business, the uniting of families.
Safe travels, Triangle. Carry on.
And one of the sweetest things about this campaign is that the local businesses featured in the campaign paid for their campaign. It cost roughly $500,000. And in some of those ads, you will see some prominent figures like Coach K, Hurricanes coach Rod Brendamore, the owner of the Angus Barn. Also, WRAL is also involved in this campaign as well, and you will be seeing the ads on our air soon. Back to you.
Thank you, Sloan Heffernan, live for us at RDU. Well, meanwhile, the FAA says there have been nearly 3,000 reports of unruly passenger behavior, and that's just this year. 2,100 of those involving passengers refusing to comply with the mask mandate, which remains in place through September 13th for all passengers traveling on planes. Misbehaving passengers face monetary fines, potential jail time, and a lifetime ban from flying on that airline.
The COVID vaccination rate may be slowing, but the push to get shots into arms is gaining momentum in the U.S. and abroad. Now a new vaccine may be coming on the market just in time for booster shots later this year. Morgan Chesky shares the results of phase three trials.
The U.S. vaccination rate may be starting to slow down, but the push to actually get more shots in arms is picking up steam, both here in the United States and abroad. President Biden and other world leaders are pledging more doses to more countries in need. And encouraging news from Novavax. Clinical data shows that their newest vaccine could become a big tool in the fight against COVID.
This morning, a new vaccine is showing promising results. Novavax releasing data from phase three clinical trials, saying its COVID vaccine's overall efficacy reached 90% and is 100% effective in preventing moderate and severe disease, and even showed a 93% efficacy against virus variants, which could make the shot a good option for booster doses.
The U.S. is going to need booster shots later this year, and I think our vaccine will be very useful for that.
Novavax vials can also be stored in a regular refrigerator, making them more accessible to low-income countries.
The world has to be vaccinated to stop the pandemic, and our vaccine is one of the tools in that toolkit.
And with new vaccines starting to come online, there's a question over whether you need to match a potential booster shot with your original shot. A study looking at that right now. Volunteers that received the big three vaccines now getting a Moderna booster. Results not out yet, but could be in just the next few weeks. Morgan Chesky, NBC News, Dallas.
New research suggests that muggy weather may make it harder for COVID to spread. Experts found that cold, dry weather with low levels of ultraviolet radiation are moderately associated with increased COVID spread. That means the opposite is true, with warm, humid, and sunny weather making it tougher for the virus to transmit. We now have new updated guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and this is for youth sports. The experts encourage children 12 12 and older to get vaccinated as soon as possible and then follow the CDC recommendations for fully vaccinated people. The association says unvaccinated athletes should wear a face mask for all indoor sport activities unless it poses a safety risk. Those who are outside and are not fully vaccinated are encouraged to wear a face mask while on the sidelines.
Well, time is running out to weigh in on Durham's next police chief. Sherry Montgomery is taking over as interim police chief. She has served Durham for 22 years. The city manager calls her a well-respected leader within the department. Durham is conducting a nationwide search, meantime, for its next police chief. And you can weigh in on the hiring process. There's an online survey on the city's website that closes tomorrow. Durham's removing the bright gold defund sign that's painted on the road in front of police headquarters. They painted it there a year ago, and the words were spray painted as racial justice protests swept across the country in response to the death of George Floyd. Normally, the city would immediately remove graffiti. Durham officials allowed the defund sign to stay in place. Last week, though, City Council unanimously agreed to remove the painting later this month or next.
Time now, 12:09. Up next at noon, a tragic mishap at a track in Texas. The injuries after a vehicle crashed through a fence and right into people watching the race.
Also, it's summer camp season, but is it full go? The effect fewer counselors can have on those camps.
Plus, at 12:30, we'll take you live to downtown Raleigh, where lawmakers are deciding whether to delay elections for a year. We'll tell you why.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Michelle McConaughey in the WREL Live Center. The Supreme Court postponed action on a major challenge to Harvard's use of a racial affirmative action case. They say that they are delaying it likely for months. A group representing Asian Americans came forward saying that they believe the school discriminated against them. They say the school enhanced the chances for Black and Latino applicants but penalized Asian Americans. The school did come out and say that that is not the case, and they counter that they set no limits on Asian American students at all. The applicants are all considered equally and fairly. The dispute has been moving through the lower courts since 2014. Back to you.
Eight people are injured, three critical, when a vehicle crashed into a truck at a mud track in East Texas. Look at this video. The vehicle slammed through a guardrail and into the crowd of spectators at the track near El Paso. It clipped three other vehicles as it left the track and critically injured three people in the crowd. Five other people sustained non-life-threatening injuries. The cause of the whole crash is under investigation. Manhunts are underway across three U.S. states after separate mass shootings in each of those states over the weekend. In Savannah, that's where police are looking for a gunman who opened fire outside a home, killing one person and hurting seven others, including an 18-month-old child. In Chicago, two men are on the run after a shooting in a neighborhood that killed a woman and sent nine others to the hospital. And in Austin, Texas, police are looking for a second person after a shooting in a tourist area that killed a 25-year-old man and hurt 13 others. In Atlanta, a security guard is in critical condition after a shooting at a popular mall. This was the scene at the Lenox Square Mall in Buckhead. When officers arrived, they found a security guard suffering from gunshot wounds. Police have two people in custody. No other injuries were reported.
President Biden is taking part in his first in-person NATO summit since taking office. Biden plans to reaffirm America's commitment to NATO, strengthen partnerships, and combat climate change. As Peter Alexander reports, the summit will give Biden a chance to reassert American leadership on the world stage.
President Biden at his first NATO summit looking to send a clear message to America's allies that the U.S. will have their backs.
NATO is critically important for U.S. interest in and of itself. If there weren't one, we'd have to invent one.
A stark contrast to his predecessor who criticized NATO nations for over-relying on the U.S., labeling the decades-old security alliance obsolete. The president behind closed doors here expected to consult the U.S.'s partners before Wednesday's high-stakes summit with Vladimir Putin.
So what specifically will you do differently to change Vladimir Putin's behavior?
Well, first of all, there's no guarantee you can change a person's behavior or the behavior of his country. Autocrats have enormous power. They don't have to answer to a public.
Among the challenges, intensifying cyber attacks with targets that have included the U.S. oil and food supply, launched by criminals based in Russia, according to the government. Despite years of U.S. sanctions on Russia for its malign activities, they have not stopped. Putin now proposing to hand over Russian hackers to the U.S. if President Biden would do the same.
So are you open to that kind of a trade with Vladimir Putin?
Yes, I'm open to, if there's crimes committed against Russia, that in fact are, and the people committing those crimes are being harbored in the United States, I'm committed to holding them accountable.
Here at NATO, another key topic of discussion behind closed doors will be Afghanistan, with the U.S. committed to withdrawing its troops there by September. The president will need to address allies' fears that it is too quick and too soon and could destabilize that region. Back to you.
The president is scheduled to speak at 2 this afternoon after the NATO meetings. We plan to carry that news conference live on WOREL and WOREL.com. And at this hour, Vice President Kamala Harris is visiting a COVID-19 vaccination distribution site. That's in Greenville, South Carolina. It's part of her month-long nationwide tour today, encouraging people to get vaccinated. She's expected to deliver remarks at 1:15. The White House says the goal is to reach millions of Americans during the next month who still need protection against the virus.
Summer camps are back this season, but many won't be filled with kids or counselors. Overnight summer camps are allowed in all 50 states this season, but those who open still have to observe COVID precautions for the second straight year. There may also be fewer kids because of fewer counselors. Many summer camps must restrict their numbers of kids because recruiting events on college campuses were canceled. Yellowstone National Park is introducing autonomous vehicle testing to aid the environment. TEDDY. It stands for the Electric Driverless Demonstration in Yellowstone. The aim is to improve the visitor experience and reduce congestion, noise, and pollution in the park's busiest areas. TEDDY will operate on two different routes in different operating environments daily from June through August and will be actively monitored. We're watching something out off our coast as well. And Amy Wilmoth is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at that.
Tropical Depression 2 formed shortly before 11 a.m. this morning. It is likely to become a tropical storm later this evening. And if it does get a name, it will be named Bill. But right now, it's 105 miles east of Cape Hatteras, moving to the northeast. So that's good news. Moving northeast at 21 miles per hour, the track pulling it away from the North Carolina coast. So here's Futurecast. We'll show this to you. Here's where the center of low pressure is at about 1 o'clock. And notice how it continues moving to the north and east. This is 10:45 tonight. Perhaps Bill at that point, it continues to lift to the north and east. You can clearly make out that low pressure center spinning away, but then it moves into some colder waters and likely falls apart. But again, the good news with that system is that it's moving away from the North Carolina coast. Not even seeing big impacts with the rip current. We have a moderate rip current risk today for the areas that you see shaded in yellow. So parts of the Outer Banks and parts of the southeastern portion of the coastline have a moderate rip current risk today, and that likely continues into tomorrow as well. We have Tropical Depression 2 that we're watching, obviously, very close to the North Carolina coast. Then we have a system off the coast of Africa, a 20% chance for development with that one. And we have a system that is in the southern Gulf of Mexico that has a 60% chance for development within the next 5 days. It's going to meander around here near Mexico and then eventually move to the north as we get to the middle and end of the week. So the tropics starting to get a little bit more active as you would expect this time of year. Our live dual Doppler 5000 right now is quiet, but we do have the potential for some storms later today. We have a level one risk for severe thunderstorms. The main threat would be some damaging winds. We're quiet for the next couple of hours. Probably around 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll notice some development back to the north and west of us, back toward the triad. As we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, some hit and miss storms will be possible in and around the triangle. That will continue 6 to 7 o'clock in our southern and southeastern communities. And then when we lose the sunshine, the daytime heating, those storms are going to fall apart. Not everybody gets the rain today, but we will have hit and miss thunderstorms developing late this afternoon and this evening. Quiet in Chapel Hill right now. This is a live look from Top of the Hill Restaurant. A mix of sun and clouds here in Chapel Hill. Hill. Very, very warm outside. Temperatures are in the 80s right now. It's 83 in Durham, 86 right now in Fayetteville, 83 in Sanford, with a mix of sun and clouds. And everybody is dry right now, but the dew point makes it feel closer to 90 out there. And we should reach 90 this afternoon. That's our forecast high for today. 88 tomorrow, just a 20% chance for rain tomorrow. High pressure is going to settle in. We have a weak cold front that moves through. So Wednesday and Thursday, it feels pretty good with temperatures in the low to mid 80s. We warm it right back up Friday, close to 90. And then for Father's Day weekend, it looks hot. A good weekend to spend maybe at the pool or the lake. High temperatures in the low 90s, both Saturday and Sunday.
Well, year after year, Rocky Mount sees an uptick in gun violence during the summer months. One group has found a way to try and change the trend. How it's giving young adults an alternative way to release their anger tonight at 6.
First, though, at 5:30, with all the stress and anxiety people are feeling, many are downloading mental health apps for support. A caution from 5 on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty. Some platforms might not be as private as you think. Amazon unveils 4 robots with playful names, but a very important role. How the company hopes they'll reduce workplace injuries.
And a new poll says your love instincts won't be driven by someone who isn't a safe driver. We'll explain coming up.
Michelle McConaughey in the WREL Live Center. You are looking at a massive chemical plant fire. This is happening in Rockton, Illinois. This is a 4-alarm fire. It broke out about 7 o'clock this morning at the ChemTool manufacturing plant. That's in Rockton, Illinois. A full-scale evacuation happened within a mile of the vicinity. That included a high school as well. This is a live picture. You can see the thick black smoke and the fire still. This building is just engulfed in flames. Huge plumes of thick black smoke can be seen from at least 25 miles away. Flames obviously continuing to erupt. It's still unclear what caused this fire. There is still no word on any injuries. We will monitor the situation and bring you any updates. Back to you.
That is something else. Michelle, thanks for that update. The biggest millennial homeowner regret, according to a recent survey of homebuyers. And at the box office, horror film dances over a musical to stay on top. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
According to a recent survey, 64% of millennials aged 25 to 40 are facing regrets after buying a home. The survey done by Bankrate found that in comparison, 33% of baby boomers aged 57 to 75 face that same regret. The older the buyer, the less likely they had home buyer regret. About 21% of homeowners' biggest regret is high maintenance costs, referring to anything that needs to be fixed or replaced. The number is higher for millennials aged 25 to 31, with 26% of them listing high maintenance costs as their biggest regret. A Quiet Place 2 edged out the debut of In the Heights to scale the top of the weekend box office. It was a surprise defeat of the new musical, with the sci-fi thriller now having grossed nearly $109 million in the U.S. since its release. That makes A Quiet Place 2 the first blockbuster to cross the $100 million in domestic theaters since the pandemic began. Critics loved In the Heights, and it's expected to gather momentum at the box office in coming weeks. In third place was Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. For the second year in a row, 7-Eleven Day has been canceled. You can still get a free Slurpee any day in July in celebration of 7-Eleven's birthday. To avoid huge crowds of people lining up on July 11 to get the free Slurpee, the company will email coupons to its rewards members for a free small Slurpee. It can be redeemed any day in July. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk.
Adding it to the calendar. Maribel, thank you. Well, some Muppet-named robots are taking center stage at an Amazon facility. Ernie, Bert, Scooter, and Kermit are being tested in Seattle to help improve worker safety while doing tasks. Ernie limits strenuous movements and removes totes from a robotic shelf for delivery to employees. Bert uses advanced safety, perception, and navigation to carry individual items across fulfillment centers. Scooter and Kermit are two autonomous guided transport carts that free employees for other tasks. The $300 million project aims to reduce injuries by 50% by 2025. Microsoft Flight Simulator lands on new Xbox consoles July 27th and will be getting a movie tie expansion. Prospective pilots can take off in the planes of Top Gun Maverick as free downloadable content this fall. The movie arrives in theaters on July 2nd. This is the fourth release date for the sequel. Interesting.
Looks like an IMAX special right there. There's a big vote expected today at the legislature why lawmakers are deciding whether to delay elections for a year. We'll tell you why.
Plus, this year's Best in Show comes from a long line of winners. Why you may not be surprised that the Pekingese ran away with the prestigious prize. And here are the winning lottery numbers. Carolina pick 3, 522, pick 4, 6091. And the Carolina cash 5 was a double draw for a set of numbers 2, 13, 36, 42, and 43. The second set of numbers 16, 17, 20, 24, and 33.
Michelle McConaughey in the WREL Live Center. We're monitoring a gas leak that's happening right now in Durham. We have Sky 5 right over this. Alston Avenue is shut down from Liberty Street to Gilbert Street. An 8-inch main has been hit from previous road construction efforts. This happened at 10:30 this morning. The Durham Fire Department is on scene. They're going to stay on scene until Dominion Energy will shut that down. 5 to 6 houses were evacuated, as well as the BP gas station on Alston Avenue. They say approximately 8 people were displaced. The time frame for the shutdown and repair work is unknown at this time. We'll stay on top of this and bring you any updates. Back to you.
State lawmakers are scheduled to take what could be a final vote tonight on whether to delay Raleigh's elections for a year. WREL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live via Zoom with why Raleigh leaders are asking for this. Laura?
Lena, a majority of the Raleigh City Council is asking lawmakers to delay this fall's elections until next November. They want to move their municipal elections to even-numbered years when statewide elections take place. It's part of a bill that would allow more than 30 other cities and towns to delay their elections until next spring's primaries. That's because the census data that they need to redraw voting maps has been delayed this year. The census data was supposed to be released in the spring, but the pandemic and problems with the count have pushed that date back till September. Cities and towns that need to redraw their voting districts wouldn't have enough time to do that before elections this fall. Now, Raleigh wants to delay its election even further, holding it next November. City officials say their redistricting will be more complicated because the city has added so many people in the past 10 years. And they say moving Raleigh's elections to even-numbered years from now on will also ensure higher turnout and reduce costs, since other elections are already held at that time. The state Senate will vote tonight on whether to accept the Raleigh delay and some other changes that were made by House lawmakers. If they do, then that bill could be on Governor Cooper's desk as soon as tomorrow.
Laura Leslie, live for us this noon. Thank you. Today, leaders in Durham County could give the green light to spend hundreds of millions of your tax dollars. Commissioners are set to vote on the new budget in a meeting tonight. The $730 million plan raises property tax by 1 cent. That's around $20 a year on a $200,000 home. The county will also spend $184 more per student at public schools, and it will invest $400,000 in a program to reduce violence. Tonight's vote is set for 7 p.m.
A controversial and now canceled Juneteenth event in Mecklenburg County has some people questioning why it was ever planned in the first place. Juneteenth marks the end of slavery in the United States. The planned event at Lotta Plantation was to have visitors interact with actors telling the stories of Confederate soldiers and plantation owners. This includes one character that's referred to as Massa. The event would have been called Kingdom Coming.
This is unacceptable in Mecklenburg County.
We could tell our children, you know, this is the way it was and this is the way it is now, and we have come such a long way.
The plantation's site manager says he will not apologize for planning the event. In a statement, he said, "History is not always pretty. Juneteenth was chosen because it means freedom to many, and it was a time to celebrate and be joyful."
In the race to vaccinate Americans nationally, 64% of adults have gotten at least one dose. The U.S., though, looks increasingly unlikely to reach President Biden's July 4th vaccine goal of 70%. A North Texas woman is grateful to be home after spending more than 4 months in the hospital. As Sophia Beausoleil reports, she contracted the illness before she could get her vaccination.
135 days. That's how long Ana Vimereyes was in the hospital.
We were not expecting that she would get sick, or this sick.
Marcia Cuadra is Ana's daughter and says in January they called an ambulance after her mother's health declined. At the hospital, she tested positive for COVID-19 and was later intubated.
They didn't allow us to go to the hospital to go see her, to be able to be there and touch her and talk to her. We all have to do it through a camera, a FaceTime, which was, it's horrible for us.
Her mother's survival rate wasn't looking good at the time, and it was a reminder of what happened to her father in October.
We decided to disconnect him because he lost his battle after 3 weeks.
Gonzalo Cuadra died of complications from COVID-19. His family saw him take his last breath via FaceTime. Marcia was worried her mother was headed down the same path. After lots of prayer, along with the help of doctors and nurses, on May 24th, her mother was released from JPS Hospital in Fort Worth.
I want her to know that I love her so much and that I'm so thankful to God that He allowed her to be with me and my siblings again.
Since the beginning of the year, a lot has changed, and the number of COVID-19 cases have dropped significantly since vaccines have been made more widely available. Dr. Joseph Chang is the chief medical officer at Parkland Health and Hospital System in Dallas.
COVID itself really hasn't changed at all, though the numbers have changed. The disease is definitely still hurting folks that get it.
Which is why he continues to urge everyone to get vaccinated, something Marcia's mom was planning to do and was on a waiting list back in December, but got sick before she could get a shot. But fortunately, she beat COVID.
That was Sophia Beausoleil reporting. A North Carolina native and one of the leading researchers behind Moderna's COVID vaccine is the newest Harvard employee. Dr. Kizzmekia Corbett joined the team at T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Cambridge. She's expected to continue her focus on preventing the next pandemic. Dr. Corbett is from Orange County and earned her Ph.D. from UNC.
Bad driving habits can influence your relationship with a potential partner. Just ahead, the new study that's just released.
And if you still need to shop for the father figure in your life, we are here to help. We'll have a gift guide just after the break. For news, traffic, and weather of the day, make sure you download the WORL News app. Get this. A new study reveals that bad driving habits can influence your relationship with a potential partner or even a current love interest. You have to hear this. 2,000 Americans took part in this survey. More than half surveyed said they wouldn't date someone they consider an unsafe driver. This has certainly happened to us. Driving also affected perceptions about their character. Almost half said rule-following drivers are more trustworthy. And more than half said drivers treating other cars with care are more reliable. I think I have to agree. Well, cars on the road are getting older as used car prices are soaring. A new report shows the average age of vehicles topping 12 years for the first time. That's due in part to their increased durability and higher value. A lack of new cars because of a global semiconductor shortage is driving shoppers to the used car market. The average used vehicle price was $20,400 in May. That's up about 5% from April and 47% from a year ago.
Here's your reminder, plenty of time yet. Father's Day is Sunday, and many folks are wondering what to get their dad. Dan Shenneman shares some gift ideas that are sure to top the list.
Throw it over here.
Throw it.
After being housebound for much of the last year, people rediscovered what was important to them. As Father's Day approaches, family time remains number one on the wish list.
Being able to get together, I mean, I don't need another tie.
So honestly, the spending time, you know, with my kids.
Even though the world is getting a little bit more back to normal this summer, that doesn't mean that Dad is looking for some crazy grand gesture or trip.
Keeping that in mind, what is the best way to celebrate the dad in your life this Father's Day?
With many dads still working from home, now's a good time to think about upgrading his office.
In Fluid Stance, we're all about bringing life to work.
Fluid Stance founder Joel Heath says physical flow is just as important as mental flow.
So a flow card is just a beautiful tool that you can jot a note and you can magnetize it anywhere.
Helping with the balance of work and home are Fluid Stance's ergonomically designed suite of products like the Raise, Slope, and the Level.
It gives you enough movement to matter when you're stuck in those places like your desk or on a Zoom, but not too much that it impacts your keystroke productivity. You just have to invest in the tools that give us the movement and the freedom to be the best we are.
Being the best dad is important to Dominic Mizzarandino. We spoke to Dominic last year about one of his best Father's Day memories.
We just spent the first 2 or 3 hours just walking and talking. It was the best Father's Day.
His wish for this year remains the same.
Spend time with my family, spend time with my daughter.
A priceless gift that means so much to so many. Dan Shenneman, NBC News.
All right, a couple days left, folks. Get on it. There are a lot of Americans returning to work after working from home for more than a year, right? So some dog owners, take notice there. There's a change in your pet's behavior. After the break, we'll explain how to spot and treat doggy separation anxiety.
This year's Best in Show at the prestigious Westminster Dog Show comes from a long line of winners. How Wasabi is carrying on a tradition. Look at that face.
Welcome back this noon. We're getting back to normal in the world, right? But the 11 million Americans who adopted a dog during the pandemic are about to face a new epidemic. It's dog separation anxiety. And joining us to talk about how you can prevent it in your pup, Becky LaBeach with Dog TV. Becky, thank you so much for joining us. How do you define doggy separation anxiety?
Separation anxiety comes across in a variety of different ways with different dogs, but it can be in behaviors like whining or barking, when you try to leave the house, when they might have accidents, they might destroy items in the home. It's really their way of saying, hey, they're anxious, they're uncomfortable, and hey, help us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If they could just talk, you know, every time I bring a suitcase into the room, dog goes to the corner sulking. I mean, you can see this in them. What do we do about it?
Well, there's a lot of things we can do. A lot of it is conditioning them to be prepared and to work with them, especially now as we're all starting to leave the home. This past year, we've been with them for, you know, 24/7, and now we're starting to leave. So we need to do things like starting to leave them in a room in another part of your house, maybe just for 10 minutes, and then come back and then extend that time. Maybe it's 30 minutes. We always want to leave them with something special as well. Maybe it's a stuffed Kong or a special treat or a bone, so that leaving does not feel like anything that is scary to them. There's always a reward, and then they know you're going to come back.
Yeah, and we always downplay that when we should downplay it, but it's hard to, because the dog's excited when you get home and you're excited, but it's that you should be just normal. Like, this is going to happen. I'm going to come back. It's going to be fine. But what is there professional help out there? Is there anything along those lines that people should seek?
Absolutely. Well, one, we have Dog TV, which is actually a resource that can help out. You leave it on for your dog. It is to help relax and entertain your dog when they're home. It distracts them from external noises and sounds, and its patented programming really does help them to relax and enjoy a little bit more. If there are extreme issues, I highly encourage you to go see a veterinarian. Potentially a certified trainer and behaviorist. Sure. There's lots of resources out there to help.
Yeah, could end up being long-term, you know? It's something we thought maybe we'd never have to worry about, but coming back to work with the pandemic and all that, it's fitting into our lifestyles once again. Becky LaBeach, thank you so much for that important information this noon. We appreciate it. Micaiah?
Thank you.
And speaking of our four-legged friends, the best in show at this year's Westminster Dog Show is one hot dog. Wasabi, the Pekingese, took the coveted prize. The 13.5-pound dog with the lion's mane comes from a long line of winners. Y'all have to come look at this. In 2012, Wasabi's grandfather, Malachi, took best in show. Wasabi's father, Pickwick, won best in toy group in 2017. And then last year, Wasabi's mom, Sushi, obviously, ranked number one in that dog show in that country. This is amazing. Definitely a long line of winners there, Amy. But right now, our forecast not so much. We are keeping our eyes on the skies.
Right. And all that hair on that dog. It'll be very hot outside today. We're going to come up to around 90 today. And we do have the potential for some storms. This is a look at our live dual Doppler 5000. It is quiet right now. We do have that level one risk in place for the entire viewing area. We did get an update from the National, from the Storm Prediction Center, and they didn't take any of our counties out of that level one risk. So we still have the potential for some hit and miss storms from about 3 o'clock in our northwestern counties, 4 to 6 o'clock in the triangle, and then our southeastern counties from about 7 to 8. So the potential for some damaging wind gusts, some pockets of heavy rain, frequent lightning with any storms that do form. Mike and Kat will have team coverage on this starting at 4 on WREL. But we're hoping for some rain today. We don't want the severe weather, but we hope we get some rain today, because tomorrow just a 20% chance for rain and then no rain chances Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. High pressure settles in and that's sinking air. It's a quiet weather pattern, so we're not expecting much rain beyond today. So here's Futurecast. We'll pause the clock here at 5 o'clock. Notice it's not really widespread. It's a weak boundary that's going to be moving through. So hit and miss storms possible for the evening commute. Here's 6:45, 7 o'clock tonight in our southern and southeastern counties, getting some of those storms as they progress to the south and east. The sun sets and then we lose the daytime heating and the storms fall apart. So it should be quiet overnight tonight. As we wake up tomorrow morning, we'll wake up to sunshine. High pressure settles in and it should be a pretty nice day tomorrow with mostly sunny skies. It's still going to be hot. Temperatures will be in the upper 80s tomorrow, but it should be a dry day today. Just a 20% chance for rain tomorrow. This is a live look at downtown Raleigh. It's our Jimmy V's camera and it's quiet right now. We don't have any storms. A nice little breeze, which is typical in downtown. The breeze going through the buildings. Temperatures are warm right now. We're in the 80s. The dew points are very high in the upper 60s and low 70s. So it does feel hotter when you factor in all the moisture that we have in the atmosphere. Feels like 88 in Raleigh right now. Feels like 90 in Fayetteville. 93 is what it feels like in Clinton right now. So it's going to stay hot for the next several hours. We won't cool down until very late this evening. Hit and miss storms today. We do have that level one threat for severe storms. High temperatures in the upper 80s to low 90s today. Tonight, the storms die down after the sun, right when the sun sets. So it should be quiet overnight tonight with temperatures in the 60s and 70s. And then tomorrow, another warm day. Temperatures in the mid to upper 80s and low 90s for tomorrow. Just a 20% chance for rain. We do have a weak front that's moving through tomorrow, and it should cool us down a little bit. Wednesday and Thursday, our high temperatures will be in the low to mid 80s. So those are some really nice days. It does heat back up. It's 89 Friday, and then Father's Day weekend, the weather's quiet but hot. Highs in the low 90s both days.
Amy, thanks so much. We want to get you back to those Sky 5 pictures live right now over a gas leak on Alston Avenue. This is in Durham. It began around 10:30 this morning. Alston Avenue is shut down right now between Liberty Street and Gilbert Street. Five or six homes right around that area. As the camera zooms out there, you can see they've been evacuated. No word on how long repairs will take. We will update this story online and during our evening newscasts.